Let us pray. God, we do believe your word is a lamp to our path and a light to our feet and shows us the way, helps us stay in the way, stay engaged in this life which is gift. Thank you for giving us each other. Help us to deepen our bonds of community in you, Jesus. Help us to be hospitable and welcoming to all. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When my boys were younger, they spent time playing video games. And occasionally I'd say, "Can I play?" And they'd sort of begrudgingly say, "Okay, I mean, whatever." And I'd be dead in like 30 seconds. I know that's not a very good way to start a sermon, but the point is, what I realized in the video game, and I didn't spend more time to figure it out, but I knew right away that there's so much coming at you in the video game, you can get so easily distracted. And this was a headset thing, so I was supposed to be a partner, and people were shouting warnings in my ear. It was just too much, right? I was so distracted that I lasted about 30 seconds. And so I said, "Well, could I play again?" And they said, "Okay, but Dad, next time you got to do this and this, and when you go in there, you got to do that." And it's like, okay, well, I'll do my best. Again, I was dead in like 35 seconds. And isn't that the way it is in life? So much is coming at us, right? If any of you have driven with a brand new driver, someone who's learning to drive, they react to just about everything they see, right? And it's terrifying to be in the passenger seat, because they're responding to the child on the bike a half a block away. And I mean, they see everything, which of course is important as we learn. Would you agree? You got to be observant, you know, right? You look left, you look right, you look left, right? But I think as we kind of gain experience, we know what to filter out. And so we're not distracted. We don't see everything like that video game. I was distracted by most of what I saw, and I was doomed. And I wonder if the scriptures don't speak of that very thing. Living life in a daily way. We can be distracted by so many things. So many. That we miss out, and some of us grow weary and just say, "I've had enough." Or we don't even consciously make the choice. We just get kind of pummeled by the distractions. And what better time to be distracted than Christmas? The sale's going to end tomorrow. Hurry. I hate those ads. I hate them. I mean, I do. Anything that wants to get me to hurry, I throw it away. I just say, forget it. Hurry. You might miss out. Hurry. Sale ends Wednesday. Hurry. Nothing down. But time is running out. And we take a breath and we consider, is there another way? And there is. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Jesus said, "Beware that you're not led astray." And I wonder if it wouldn't be appropriate to say, "Beware that you're not distracted," you know, by the so many things. And so then the question is, well, how? How do we maintain our focus? How do we maintain our balance? How do we just keep our hearts and minds together and fixed on what is real, what is true, what is enduring, what is in fact our inheritance, which is eternal life? It's now, but it's not yet in its fullness. How do we do that? Jesus speaks to the disciples and gives them a big picture. They're looking at the temple. Jesus knew that the temple would be destroyed, not once, but twice. The center of their universe would be destroyed. And so Jesus is warning them that things are going to happen, that's for sure, but don't be terrified. Don't get knocked off your shalom. Maintain shalom at all times. And some of us are dealing with big things, big issues. Our families are dealing with big issues. And yet I believe that Jesus is calling us to stand firm. Let nothing move you, Scripture says. It's so helpful for me to hear that Jesus says these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. Like, there is an order even in the chaos. And some of us are experiencing chaos. And we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, who just sees, like, you know, narrowly, sees in pieces, sees kind of in a, like a fogged up window or mirror. I don't have the full picture. And so Jesus invites us to see this big picture and then to make a decision. Am I going to buy in with this image of how things are, or will I choose another way, another image, another matrix? Because we all make choices even if we don't consciously choose. We fall into a default. And Jesus is saying, I believe, choose every day. He says, make up your minds. Make up your minds, even when he says you will be denied even by family members. You will be given up and persecuted. Make up your minds now. And I believe that applies to every day. In this case, he says, don't prepare your defense in advance. Don't make up your minds. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. So God will give us words, God will give us wisdom to maintain peace even though there may be a storm, even though it may be of an apocalyptic proportion. Jesus says, don't be terrified. And so how can we, as St. Cuthbert, model that? A non-anxious presence in our daily lives with our children. We model that our children might be a non-anxious presence in their school when anxiety is epidemic. How can we be a non-anxious presence in our community here at St. Cuthbert? You may come from Aldergrove, Langley, Vancouver. You may come from different places to come here, but that's what we're considering in our 60th year in 2020, how we can best serve our community. And I wonder if part of that is maintaining this focus, to decide as a community that we will follow the Jesus way, no matter what. And we will practice peace, and practice peace with justice, working for justice, believing that God does have a plan. There was a memorial service here yesterday, and I just want to pause and thank God for the hospitality extended. A former pastor died, and the church that they were attending at the time of his demise and death, they were in a rented facility, and so they knew the place would not be appropriate for a memorial to honor father and husband. And so they visited here. And I got a call and said, could we use your church? And so through the advance work of Yolanda, of Philip, of Jinx, of Sharon, of Marge and Jan, this church was extended to them in hospitality, and between 200 and 300 people came. And it was a full day. But that's one day, one way St. Cuthbert extends itself and serves our community. And I think we're at our best when we do that. Skilled, gifted, focused people who have decided that they are committed to offering this loving service in Jesus' name. And yes, it was on a Saturday when they would normally have been doing other stuff. It's a beautiful offering. In the eulogy, the son with whom I was in contact, Kevin Wilkinson, he flew in from Toronto, included a poem by his father in his time of difficulty. And the deceased that was being memorialized is Rod Wilkinson. And so I offer this poem as a way, I think, to give witness to this focus that Rod had in his life, the decision that he had made. He had made up his mind to follow after Jesus. So this was later in the stages of cancer that he was living. And these are his words. Disoriented in time and space, I'm not abandoned by your grace. Grace that flows through those I love surely comes from you above. Believers surrounding me with prayer, clearly showing how much you care. From this cancer you will release my homecoming or healing, as you please. Again, that's by Rod Wilkinson, shared by his son, Kevin. Jesus said to his disciples, things are going to get bad. And they're going to go from bad to worse. But not a hair on your head will perish. Even in the midst of that, there's hope. And then he ends with this phrase that I thought was odd. By endurance, you will gain your souls. What do you think that means? By endurance, you will gain your souls. I find that interesting. It's one of my favorite words in the New Testament. Endurance. It's translated endurance from the Greek. And the word, you might know that I love this word, it's hupomene. Hupomene. Do you like that? It's kind of fun. Hupomene, I say to Lloyd as I see him out in his yard. Hupomene, I say to Pat. Hupomene, I say to George and Chris. And if you say hupomene to me, I'll say hupomene back. It's translated perseverance or endurance. It's this constancy in the face of no matter what. It's a spirit-infused commitment. It's a fruit of making up your mind that this is the way I want to follow, this Jesus way that I don't fully comprehend, and yet I'm convinced that this is in fact the way. And I will commit to a community of other Jesus followers. Not perfect, not necessarily of my choosing, and yet God's present here. And so I will commit in this way. And therefore we can call out to each other in verse and response, hupomene, brother, hupomene, sister. I believe as we engage in this with our wills, we exercise our agency in Christ, and we move forward, and we experience this hupomene. It's like it's not just a gritting it out, but it's this sort of updraft, this spiritual updraft we get as we make a decision to continue, to be constant. That's my experience of it. And so sometimes it's translated a cheerful endurance, sort of a spirit-kissed endurance. May you feel the updraft, as I believe this poem speaks of, this constancy in the face of trouble and difficulty. I use Google Maps quite a bit, and I started in when I moved here, actually, because I thought there'd be shortcuts through North Delta. All I got was cul-de-sacs. And in the early days, if I was late coming to your house for a visit, I was in one of these blasted cul-de-sacs. And so even on short little trips before I leave here, I put it on Google Maps and she talks to me. She goes, at the roundabout, take the second right. And so I get off on the right foot, right? Do you use Google Maps, any of you? Yeah. You have to make sure, though, that it's not on walking. Because that isn't any good at all if you're driving the car. So I get that straight. And I use the overview feature more these days as I get to know the lay of the land better. I can then get to places without using so much data on my phone, because sometimes I'm driving 20 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes, whatever. And so it doesn't need to be on the whole time. On the overview, there are bits of the route that I'm sure of, and then there are bits of the route that are unclear or are totally foreign to me, unknown. Is that kind of like life? Yeah, of course it is, right? And I hope you hear the analogy, the parallel here with this life in Christ, life in the Spirit. The overview function helps me to orient myself. And I believe that saying yes, making up our minds in relationship to God and His ways is a reorientation. And that could be daily. It could be many times throughout the day, making a decision, making up our minds to be Jesus followers. If any of you are in relationship, if any of you are married, that just didn't happen, that love. There's a couple celebrating their 50th, and for some of you that's old hat, I realize, but 50 is pretty amazing, right? And they aren't even old yet. I used to think that, man, if you were celebrating your 25th, you were old. I don't think that anymore. And I'm anticipating the 50th. But that just didn't come from, you know, the good feelings and a couple of great dates. 50 years of marriage is decisions over and over and over again, making up your mind. Someone said, you know, it wasn't love that kept me married, it was my marriage that kept me married. There was this contract, there was this agreement, and there was this power as God witnessed to that union, that covenant commitment, that the marriage takes on its own strength, its own reality, its own dynamic. And that really spoke to me. It's my marriage that's kept me married all these years. And not just a gritting it out, but there's been hoopamanay on both, by both parties, and we feel the updraft, and we give thanks. So I think that this making up our minds helps us focus and not be distracted by all the things. I love it that I look on my little Google Maps and she says, no, not this road, it's that road. In 150 meters, take a right. You should be in the right lane. I'm going, this is great. I'm loving this. And then I turn and it's the right road, right? And when I don't turn for whatever reason, you know what happens, right? Make a what? Make a U-turn. And then if I can't, it says again, make a U-turn. And doesn't the Spirit call us to that? And isn't that what repentance is? The woman, the little voice, never scolds me and says, you idiot. What? Never. Maybe you can get voices that do that. I don't know. I don't know why anyone would. But isn't that like the Spirit? Just say, make a U-turn. You're not going to get there this way. This is the way. Walk in it. Don't be distracted by all this stuff. I've found that cultivating this mindset that the Scripture is key. Daily reading the Scripture helps me get this overview function and helps me orient in my daily life. Morally, spiritually, eschatologically, meaning in relation to the end time when Jesus will return. We're living in that place now. Ever since Jesus ascended to the Father until he comes again, we're living in the end times. And we're told not to fear, and yet we're told to make up our minds about it. Will we allow Scripture to conform us to the will and purposes of God so that we can be free and live fully present, fully committed to this way, even if we don't understand it all completely? In Romans it says to no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the what? By the renewing of your minds. And that is, for me, through Scripture, through being quiet, through not responding to the hurry up, you're going to miss out. Our part of the relationship, as I understand it, is to say yes and to submit to God's word and to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. How many times have you said, oh, I wish I would have listened to that voice. I wish I would have called that person. I wish I thought about it, but I didn't do it. And so how can we be more conformed to that, more sensitive to that? I believe it's by making up our minds once again that's in fact what we want, and that's the true source of satisfying life. The closing hymn today is, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, I Go. It's fairly formal language, I realize, but it's about a decision, is it not? It's about people who have made up their mind. And so I'd like you to consider that before we sing it even, if that's a prayer that you could pray. we've made up our minds to go with God's program for us, this big picture, as well as the dailiness of living for our world and for the whole created order. Hupomene, friends.